Hear now the very word of God, as it is given to us in the 10th chapter of John, reading verses 7 through 9. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." And may the Lord truly bring this graphic image to fruit and bear fruit in our minds. Let's ask him for that. Heavenly Father, we're just asking that you would indeed illuminate our minds, that you would quicken us to the meaning of these words. I know that my words will be insufficient to bring the message home, and so I ask that it would be your spirit that stands in between my words and the understanding of those who have gathered either here or listening in across the internet. Lord, we just ask you that this would become so real to us that we would be there. Not just in ancient Palestine, but in the sheepfold, right along the rest of the sheep, and we can understand the graphic image that you are creating in this passage. We will give you the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A few minutes ago, Brother Ralph read in the moment in the Word a passage from Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is another one of those, actually Ezekiel 34, where he was reading from, is another one of those passages where this analogy of a shepherd and the sheep is very well developed. And there's one particular verse that the Lord says that I wanted to bring out because it's very germane to our subject this morning in John. This is from the 13th verse, and this is what God said speaking to Ezekiel. He said, "I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their land." So there's a kind of a two-part thing that God talks about there. I'm going to bring them out of the dispersion where they're all scattered in all the different countries, and I'm going to bring them into their land. Very similar to what we saw back in Exodus when the children of Israel were in slavery in Egypt, and God brought them out of Egypt first and then eventually into the promised land. Now, there are many examples in the world around us of coming out and going in, and coming out of some place that is necessary to come out of before we can go into the next place. We have that in education. When our children, or some of you who are still in school, when you go from one grade to the next, well, you need to come out of the grade you were in. You need to complete the curriculum, pass the test, so that you can come out of that grade, so that you can go into the next grade. Those of you who have been in the military know that you've got to come out of the military first before you can go into civilian life. If you've got an infectious disease and you're in quarantine, you must come out of quarantine in order to go into public life. But there is no greater, more important coming out and going in than the coming out and going in that surrounds the process of salvation. And that's what our text is about, to come out of the world, to come out of a sinful world, and to go into the kingdom's two-part process, to very much like our man born blind in chapter 9 of John, who came out of darkness before he came into the light. We must come out of the bondage of sin in order to go into a relationship with a holy God. We must come out of condemnation in order to enter into redemption. Now, the importance in looking at the things that we come out of and the things that we go into as far as salvation is concerned is it all involves Jesus. Jesus is the door out. He's the door in. He is the preeminent one when it comes to salvation. He takes us out of where we are, the dilemma that we're in, and then he takes us into a whole new life in him, in relationship with God. Well, that's what we're going to find in this passage this morning as Jesus continues to reveal this figure of speech, he calls it, this allegory of the Good Shepherd. Now, unless you have really not been paying any attention this morning so far, chapter 10 is all about shepherds and sheep and sheep foals and intruders, robbers, thieves, strangers, wolves, lions, bears. I mean, all of that is going to be involved with chapter 10. So Jesus has already explained his allegory, his figure of speech in the first five verses. We looked at that last week. Now he is going to expand upon it, because we remember in the sixth verse that the ones he's talking to, which we'll re-identify as the Pharisees, well, they didn't get it. They didn't understand what he's talking about. So Jesus is going to retell his allegory, but he's not going to do it in exactly the same way that he did it in the first five verses. He's going to add to it. He's going to amplify it. In doing so, some people think it gets a little bit confusing, but I'm hopefully going to present it in a way where it will not. So let me first of all remind you of what the first five verses say and the way that Jesus developed that allegory. He talks about a sheepfold. And a sheepfold, the kind of sheepfold that he's talking about, would have been on the edge of a village in those days. And it was nothing more than a big open space surrounded by a stone wall. And in the middle of that space is where the sheep of the various flocks of the village would gather. That's where they would keep them for the night. So there's two things that we wanted to remember about that sheepfold. First of all, it was communal. It was a communal sheepfold where perhaps the way we put it is we put it maybe six different flocks, each with 100 sheep apiece. So 600 sheep are in that sheepfold. They're hopelessly intermingled. Now, the second distinguishing factor was that there's one way in and one way out of the sheepfold legitimately. There's a door with a gatekeeper on it, and only the shepherd is able to enter into the sheepfold. Anyone else is a thief and a robber, and they come over the walls. But the focus of that analogy last week focused on hearing the voice of the good shepherd, disintermingling, that's my word, remember, I made that up, disintermingling from all the sheep that they were involved with, and then following the shepherd out. Now, of course, we know the sheep folds the world. We know the shepherd is Jesus. We know that the sheep in there are the people of the world, and the sheep that hear the shepherd's voice, those represents the true believers, the ones that Christ calls out of the world. And the way that he did that was simply by going into the sheepfold. This was actually what shepherds would do, and call his sheep. And because the sheep knew the sound, the particular call of their shepherd, they would disintermingle. That no longer were they completely all tied up together. They would disintermingle. They would come and surround around that shepherd. And then the shepherd, in true Near Eastern style, would lead them, not drive them, but lead them out and lead them into green pastures and still waters. Now, that's where we left it last week. That was the extent, pretty much, of that opening allegory. Well, Jesus is going to add to it, and in adding to it, he is going to add some layers of complexity, because we're going to see that he's got maybe one or two sheepfolds he's got in mind, and then not only is he the shepherd, but he's the door, and that's where the confusion is going to come in. So let's start, and I'll try to keep this as straightforward as I can. Let's take a look in this seventh verse. Starts out this way. So Jesus again said to them. Now let's define the them quickly. If you remember at the end of chapter 9, we're flowing from one chapter to the next. You've got two people in our mind in front of Jesus. Jesus identified as the Son of Man, the man on his right, the man originally blind who now sees flat on his face, worshiping Christ as Christ. To his left is a Pharisee. We know there's a bunch of them. We know there's a group, but we boiled it down to just one. A Pharisee, self-assured, arrogant, mocking Jesus because he doesn't want to worship him whatsoever. Now, Jesus begins to address the Pharisees and tells them about this allegory. Verse 6, they didn't get it. And so the them that Jesus is saying again are the Pharisees. And remember, the Pharisees represented everyone who did not choose light. The man on his face chose light. The representative is everybody else, and includes the Jews, as John declares, as John identifies the Jews, which would be the Sadducees, the chief priests, the scribes, everyone who stands in opposition to Jesus. Well, anyway, Jesus goes again and says to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Notice, first of all, for the second time in seven verses, Jesus uses that truth formula, amen, amen, truth, truth, I say to you. Jesus used this, as most of you know, when he had something important to say. When he wanted to wake you up out of your doldrums and say, this is really important, that's when he said, truly, truly, I say to you. But we also learned that he says that when he wants to amplify something. When he's sort of talked about something in one way, and it doesn't seem like people are getting it, so he'll tell it in a slightly different way, expand it or amplify it. And that's what he's doing here. He's already told the story or the figure of speech or the allegory of the sheepfold, the shepherd, and the sheep, and the thieves and robbers coming over the wall, as we just described. Since they didn't get it, he's going to describe it a different way. It's the same thought. It's not a new thought, but he's going to describe it in a different way. And he starts out by saying, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. Let's just take that first phrase, because most of you know how important that is. That was what Yahweh said, what God said when he was talking to Moses on Mount Sinai, before he sent him into Egypt to deliver his people. Moses says, what if they ask me who you are? How do I even know your name? And that's when God said, I am that I am. You shall tell them I am has sent you. And that became his name, the holiest name that the Hebrews had for God, Yahweh, or as we say it. They wouldn't even include the vowels. Well, anyway, Jesus, throughout his ministry, would regularly refer to himself with those words, I am. And when he did it, he was declaring himself righteous. I'm sorry, not righteous, but declaring himself to be God, really. That was his claim to divinity. Now, in John, this is the third of what are seven of the great I am statements of Jesus. We've already seen two of them. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Then he said, I am the light of the world. In this same chapter, he will say, I am the shepherd of the sheep. Then he will say, I am the resurrection and the life. He will say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, he will say, I am the true vine. Now, each time he does that, he identifies, he reveals himself, he defines himself to us and the relationship that we have with him. It's tremendous revelation. But also wrapped up in that I am is exclusivity. Each one of those, Jesus says, I am the bread of life and I'm the only bread of life. I am the light of the world and I alone am the light of the world. Here he says, I am the door. And once we define what that door is, we want to remember the exclusivity. Jesus and Jesus alone is the door. We're in a sheepfold, and there's one way in and one way out. There's one door, and the only way out is to be passed over the wall by the thieves and robbers. And that's the way we're going to see this developed. Well, anyway, that's what Jesus says. I am the door. So what does he mean by that? You see, it's going to get a little bit complex. And so I've kind of agonized all week about how to share this with you, and this is the way that I came up to do it. I want to share, first of all, a very simple scenario. I am not telling you that this is the scenario that John is writing here. I'm not telling you that it's even on his mind. What I am telling you is, in my mind, this is a simple way to visually see what Jesus is talking about here. And it is by setting up a little scenario that you get in your minds, and then I'll flesh it in. Now, brothers and sisters, please listen to this, because too often you're daydreaming or you're sleeping. And you come up later on in the service and you tell me, hey, I don't understand this at all. Your sermons are too complex for me. And the reason is because you went to sleep when I told you the straightforward stuff. So stay awake. And as I give you this very simple scenario, this is the scenario that I'm going to flesh in as Jesus continues this morning. I want you to consider the sheepfold down in the village, simple sheepfold, a communal sheepfold, all kinds of sheep in that sheepfold. Early in the morning, a shepherd comes into the sheepfold and he makes his special call. He makes the special call and his sheep disintermingle from all the rest of the sheep and come and gather around him. Then that shepherd leads them out of that sheepfold. Now he leads them out of the sheepfold and into the countryside, because the countryside is where the pasture lands are. All day long, the sheep enjoy leisurely grazing on green pastures beside still waters. When the evening comes and the shadows begin to get long and dark approaches, it is necessary for the shepherd to get his sheep into a sheepfold. He's not going back to the communal sheepfold because he's on his way out. In fact, he may be weeks or months in finding the best pastures for his sheep. So therefore, he finds a remote, makeshift sheepfold out there in the open country. And as darkness falls, he leads his sheep into that sheepfold. Got it? Straightforward. That's what the whole thing is talking about. Okay, now I got to flush it in a little bit. It gets a little bit more complex than that. But that's the simple scenario. That's what we're going to see. Now, I hope you noticed that in that scenario, in my mind, the one I just shared with you, there are two sheepfolds. There's the sheepfold that the sheep came out of, and there's a sheepfold that the sheep go into. Now, I've separated them to make it easier to see. But there's the communal sheepfold down by the village, and Jesus calls his sheep out of that sheepfold. And then he's going to take them into the countryside, and there somewhere he's going to have another sheepfold that the sheep are going to go into. Okay? Now, let me flesh in those two sheepfolds a little bit. I've already fleshed in the one that's down in the village. We know that's communal. We know what it looks like. We also know what it represents. There are sheep from all over, and the sheep that are the sheep of Jesus' flock are intermingled with them. There are thieves and robbers who have malintent on the sheep in that sheepfold. And they're coming over the walls to try to bind them and to take them out. There is danger even within the sheepfold. But when dawn breaks and the shepherd comes, he leads his sheep out of that sheepfold. Now, if you remember, when we define... Everybody with me? Okay. When we defined a sheepfold, one of the distinguishing factors is that there was one way in and one way out. Jesus is the shepherd, but guess what? He's also the door. He is the door to that sheepfold. And basically what he is saying is, I'm the only way out of here. There's only two ways that you're getting out of this sheepfold. One is over the door, tied up by these thieves and robbers. The other way is through me, because I'm the door. I'm also the shepherd, but I'm the door, and I'm going to lead you out into green pastures. And so the only way for the flock of Christ to get out of the sheepfold is through Jesus. Okay? I mean, that's pretty straightforward enough, and that's simple. That's the analogy that he's saying. I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door of the sheep down in that communal sheep pen because there's only one way out, and that is through me. And we'll flesh that in a little bit more in a moment. But now we have to go up into the countryside. Because you see, the sheep are going to be up there all day long. And they're not coming back to the communal sheep pen, okay? At least not tonight. And so therefore, the shepherd would have to find a remote sheepfold. Because in Palestine, the Near East of those days, there were lots of predators. There were wolves and jackals and packs of wild dogs. Even there were still a lion around here and there. There were lions in those days. And so there are predators in the darkness that if somehow the shepherd did not collect his sheep and protect them at night, way too far away from the communal sheepfold to do that, he has to create or make a local sheepfold. Now, the difference between the two is that's a communal one, and this is just his sheep. That one he came out of, and this one we're going to go into. Now, that sheepfold could take several different forms. Simplest would just be a bunch of briar bushes or branches with thorns on them, put in a circle, and the sheep would be placed in the middle of them, or a rock formation, or a ravine, or a cul-de-sac in a cliff, anything that had three sides and only one way out. But the one we're going to use to visualize this is a cave. And the reason that we'll do that is because, first of all, it was one of the main things that they used, because the landscape in this area is peppered with caves. And so we're going to visualize this remote sheepfold as a cave, and it's going to be a perfect cave for our purposes. In other words, it's going to be big enough that all 100 of our sheep can fit in there. There's not going to be any depth to it. It's just a big cavern, and there's no way out except the door. And the door is relatively small, only about 6 feet across. And so when nighttime comes, after grazing all day long out there on the pastures, under the supervision and protection of the shepherd will lead his sheep to this sheepfold. Now, when he leads them to the sheepfold, and now they're going in to the sheepfold, as he leads them to the sheepfold, he stands at the door. And there's three basic functions that he engages in. First of all, he counts the sheep because he knows exactly how many he has. None of his sheep are going to be left outside. If there are, he's going to go and fetch it. But he counts the sheep because he knows his sheep. And he makes sure that when all the sheep go into this sheepfold, that every single last one of them makes it in. Second thing he's going to do is to inspect each and every one of them. That's what a good shepherd would do. There are all kinds of trouble that a sheep can get into out in the open country. They can stumble, they can step on pebbles and get it caught in their hooves, they can get in thorn bushes and have their skin ripped and be bleeding. And so the shepherd, as those sheep, they go by him, he monitors and sees, okay, this one needs to be dressed. I'm going to go anoint him with oil. This one seems a little bit upset. I'm going to go and restore the soul of that one. But all of the sheep get into the sheep pen, and the shepherd identifies whatever doctoring or ministry he needs to do to the sheep while they're in that sheep pen. Thirdly, he makes sure that only his sheep enter the sheep pen. See, the wolves up in that part of the country had gotten mighty crafty. Because they had taken the hides of some of the sheep that they had killed. Now, of course, this is a metaphor. I know they don't actually do this. But the wolves would wrap themselves in sheep's clothing, and they would try to sneak into the sheepfold. But there the sheep, the shepherd is with his rod and his staff. And as the sheep would file past him, every now and then you'd hear this big thud and then this yelp, and off would go a wolf. Because in sheep's clothing, that wolf had been trying to get into the sheepfold, and the shepherd's not going to allow that. He protects the sheep in the fold, and he knows his sheep. So this process occurs until every single one of his sheep have gone in. Now, the same sheep that have come out of the other sheepfold, and now they're going into this one. It's an exclusive sheepfold. It's just his. It's just that shepherd's. Now, there's only one thing missing to the sheepfold. There's no door. Okay, it's open. I mean, it's a cave, 6 feet by 6 feet, maybe the opening. And back down in the communal sheep pen, there's a nice big door made of wood on hinges, and the gatekeeper would open and close it for the sheep to come and go. But up there in the countryside, there's no wood, there's no door, and the rocks are way too big to try to roll over the surface of that. So what kind of door is the shepherd going to use? And I know that most of you already know the answer to this. But let me tell you a little story that I read in researching this. As one of the commentators I read quoted another commentator who quoted another commentator who knew this to be a true story. Actually, I looked the man up. He really was a man. His name was Sir George Adam Smith. And he lived right at the end of the 19th century, at the beginning of the 12th century. And he was a chaplain, I think, of the military. I can't remember whether it was the Army or the Navy over there in England. And he traveled extensively in Syria and Egypt. And on one of his trips, he saw a shepherd doing exactly this. Of leading his flock into a temporary sheepfold. Three sides to this. And he watched as he counted them, and he watched as he ministered to the ones who needed to be cared for, and he watched as he used his staff and his rod to make sure only his sheep got in. And so then Sir George went to him, and now this is an Arab man. He's not a Christian. This is not even Palestine. Okay? This is over in Syria probably someplace. And so the man had no clue of what the Christian text says. And so he asked the man, well, wait a minute, where's the door to the sheepfold? And the man gave him a toothless grin, and he said, "I'm the door." Okay, so he laid down in the doorway of the sheepfold, and he said, "Nobody gets in or out as long as I'm here. I'm the door. If any sheep tries to get out, they're going to trample over me. If anyone tries to get into this sheepfold, they're going to have to go through me. I am the door of the sheep." That's exactly what Jesus is saying. In this sheepfold going in, with all that it reflects or all that it means, Jesus and Jesus alone is the door to that sheepfold. He's the door out, and he's the door in. Okay? Now, with that basic understanding of what Jesus is talking about, let's look at these 8th and 9th verses, because we're going to look at both of those different kinds of sheepfolds. The 8th verse, we're going to get back down to the communal sheep pen. In the 9th verse, we're going to go back up into the hills to the remote sheepfold. But what we're going to see is that Jesus is the door to both of them. Look what he says in the 8th verse. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. All who came before me, Jesus says, past are present. All who came before me are now thieves and robbers. And so the first thing we have to do with that statement is to come to an agreement about what does he mean by all those who came before me. Well, obviously, he does not mean Moses and Abraham and Isaiah and all the prophets, although many people have tried to make that stick, and they're usually heretics who simply want to separate the Old Testament from the New and to say, okay, Jesus himself said all those in the Old Testament are thieves and robbers, and so therefore we throw away the Old Testament and we focus on nothing but the New Testament. And I'm not talking about those who just have a New Testament emphasis. I'm talking about those who said the Old Testament is not part of God's Word. That's not at all. Jesus had the greatest respect for the Old Testament prophets. He quoted them extensively, and he fulfilled their prophecies. So that's not at all who he refers to. And I don't think he's talking about false messiahs who might have come during the intertestamental period who had been before him. Because he says, these have been before me, and they're still here. And that's why I think in the context of this scene that we have before us, the man formerly blind on his face worshiping Jesus and the Pharisees over here in arrogant defiance, that's who he's talking about. We know that they're the robbers and the thieves. And he says, they've been here. For generations they have been ravaging the flock of God. They have created their own religion. They have turned the temple into a shrine to their own religion, and they've reduced God to little more than a mascot. These are the thieves and robbers who are stealing the souls of God's people. They have been here for a long time, but now the Good Shepherd has come. Brothers and sisters, this is a very powerful image in my mind, and we need to explore it, because I think it puts a little bit of a twist on the way, at least the way I had seen it before. Remember, we're in the communal sheep pen, and we've got thieves and robbers who are coming in over the walls with malintent on the sheep. Now just imagine, if you will, that you and I are sheep in that sheepfold, okay? Somewhere in the depth of the darkness of the night, thieves and robbers fall upon us. And one by one, you see, we're just a bunch of defenseless sheep. We can't do anything. One by one, they're taking us and manhandling us and tying us up and then passing us over the fence to who knows what. Who can imagine the horrors that wait for the sheep when they are bound and gagged and placed over that fence? And that is when the dawn breaks. And that is when we, already bound, you see, because we're bound in that sheepfold, brothers and sisters, because every single one of us, we're bound by our sins. And that's as soon as the dawn breaks and we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, all of a sudden those bound, those ropes just break apart. They cannot hold us anymore. And all of a sudden those robbers and thieves have no power over us. They can do nothing but drop us, because the power of the voice of Christ has called to us and we have awoken. And our bonds are gone, because our sins have been forgiven through Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, follow me. Now let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We're going to have to leave that sheepfold. And Jesus says, I'm the door of the sheepfold. Okay, the way I envision it, there's a big cross right in that gateway. Because the only way you're coming out of that sheepfold, there's two ways. Either bound and gagged over the fence into the darkness, or following me through the door. I'm the door, Jesus says. And it is only through what I did for you. It is only through the accomplishments that I made on the cross on your behalf when I paid for your sins. That's what binds you in that sheepfold. And you're never getting out of that sheepfold unless you come through me, because I'm the door. And I'm the way out. I'm the way out of that sheepfold. Okay? But not only is he the way out, he's also the way in. Because his sheep don't listen to the voices of those others. They don't pay attention. They follow the voice of their Lord, the Good Shepherd, and he leads them out. And that's where he goes in the ninth verse. Okay? No longer are we going to be down in this sheepfold. Now we're up into the hillside, and we're getting ready to enter the sheepfold that is the Lord's sheepfold. And this is what he says in the ninth verse. He says, again, just in case you missed it, just in case you didn't get this imagery, I am the door. I'm the door out, and I'm also the door in. This is what he says. He says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. If anyone enters by me, okay, one door, one way in, I am singular, I am the door in. If anyone enters by me into this sheepfold, which is my sheepfold, he will be saved. John doesn't use that word very often. In fact, he uses it very rarely. When he does use it, it talks about the whole process of God's redemptive plan. It talks about all of salvation. When he used it before was when he was talking to Nicodemus back in the third chapter. And he says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the kind of saving that he means. And now he says, whoever enters this sheepfold through the door will be saved. And what it means the whole aspect from beginning to end of this salvation process. It means the regeneration of a soul lost in its own sin. The one who is tied up in that sheepfold and cannot move in the darkness as the thieves and robbers have their way with him or her. It means to be regenerated so that those bonds are broken. It means that they are given the gift of faith so that they can believe in Jesus Christ and what he did for them on the cross. So that his sacrifice on the cross and the payment that it represented, he is the atonement for sins. And because of that atonement, our sins are forgiven and taken away from us so that we are declared righteous, so that we might stand in the presence of a holy God, righteous in his eyes, and be reconciled with God. What an amazing thought, because of the door. And because of that reconciliation, we return to the garden and we have relationship with God. That's what John means when Jesus says, whoever enters into my sheepfold through me, through the door, will be saved. It is a magnificent picture of the salvation that occurs when God calls his people out of the world, or when Jesus calls his people out of the world. But notice what he goes on and says at the end of this. Says he will go in and out and find pasture. Man, this analogy just keeps getting better and better. And we're not done with it. Today's not the end of this. I mean, he's got more to say. Like what happens when we return to the first sheepfold, you know, down there in the village. We are going to make our way back there someday, but not now. And so he talks about the kingdom. And if you've been here very long, you know that I describe the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God really as the here and now of who we're all part of the kingdom, God, if you've given your life to Christ, and the not yet. I mean, the kingdom as it is now on this earth when Christ established it, and the not yet will be the kingdom that we ultimately go into and we live in eternity in that kingdom. Well, this is a beautiful statement of both the here and now and the not yet. Because you see, when the Lord takes you out of that other sheepfold and counts you as his own, and you go into his sheepfold, his private, his exclusive sheepfold, then nothing can take you out of that fold. You can come and go as you want. I mean, there's all kinds of good pastures out there, and there's all kinds of water. There's things for the church to do, brothers and sisters, and it's not hovering in the sheepfold all day. That's for night. That's for the restoration of your soul. That is for the anointing of oil that occurs when you need fixing. That is so that you can regain the strength to go about the work that God has set aside for us. The work of a sheep is pretty simple, folks. It's not rocket science. What a sheep does is eat and drink and sleep. And pretty much that's what he's telling us to do. You just go out there, and your job is to be fearless and go wherever your shepherd leads you eat to your fill out of life. Now, he's not talking, as we'll talk about next week, he is definitely not talking about materialistic things, but eat to your fill out of the richness of God's pastures, as it is given to you in the Word, as it is given to you in prayer, as it is given to you in the service of the Lord. Be involved with that, because your good shepherd watches over you, and nothing will happen to you until he's finished with you. Till he leads you through the valley of the shadow of death, you can go in and go out as you please, because you will never, ever, ever not be counted as one of the Lord's sheep. That is so encouraging as the good shepherd takes us into that great sheepfold. Well, brothers and sisters, I know that over the last 2 weeks and this morning as well, we spent an awful lot of time talking symbolically and figuratively. And I think we should maybe take it out of that realm, because this is very real, what the Lord is telling us here. Going back down to that sheepfold where we are intermingled with the world, and that beautiful picture of God's people being in the world and being called out of the world. Man, I know what it's like down there. And I know that many of you do too. I know what it's like to wake up in the middle of the night and have the robbers and thieves tying me up in cords. I know what it's like to be lifted up and to be just about to be thrown over that fence, and to know that I am lost, to stare into that abyss. And at that precise minute, the dawn breaks and the voice of Jesus calls out, "Follow me." And so strong is that voice, brothers and sisters, there was not a cord or a bond that could hold me. They dropped off as if they were not there, and my life changed in an instant. And I know the same thing has happened with many of you. I don't care if you are perched right on the side of that wall and those robbers and thieves have you and your life is over. If the voice of Jesus breaks through that voice, even then, those bonds come away. Those robbers and thieves have absolutely no control over you. And Jesus says, "Follow me," and you follow him. But there's only one way out of that sheepfold, brothers and sisters, and you know it. It's through the door. It is through Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. It is through his sacrifice for you. It is not through yourself. You're not strong enough. Man, you are bound. You are gagged. And there is nothing that's going to happen to you except being thrown over the fence with the robbers and thieves. There is one way out of that sheepfold, and Jesus has made it clear. It is through the door. It is through him. And my dear friends, if this means anything to you, if you were like me and you were there and you know what I'm talking about, you know what it's like to be in the darkness in the middle of the darkest night, and you know what it's like to be surrounded by robbers and thieves and strangers and wolves and lions and jackals and wild dogs. You know what that is like, and you know what those voices are like. Jesus has an invitation for you. Hear my voice. Come through the door. Because there is a way out of this sheepfold, and it is only through Jesus. It is through what he did for you. That's not hard to understand. It is through what he did on the cross, and that is what takes those sins away and forgives them, so that you might leave that sheepfold forever and join him out in good pastures. You see, that's kind of where discipleship begins, when he leads you out of that sheepfold, but that's not where it ends. Because he takes you up to the hills, and he beds you down for the night and makes sure that you're well taken care of. You know, sometimes out there in the pasture lands, it's pretty dangerous. It doesn't mean that the wolves go away. It doesn't mean that the voices of strangers go away. It just means that we're not going to be lost. And we need to count on that, because our good shepherd is right up there taking a look at us. And his rod and his staff will comfort us, and he will protect us from anything that will happen to us. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, get out of the sheepfold and get out into the world, because that's exactly where he wants us. We have work to do. And that is what we're going to find next week, or maybe then a week after, when we go back to the beginning of the ninth chapter, when Jesus said to his disciples, "We must work the work of the one who sent me." Well, this is the work: to be sheep, to eat the pastures, the bread of life pastures, to drink the waters, the living waters, to grow in Christ day after day and strengthen and be the sheep of his pasture. Because that is what he's called you to do. But this isn't the end, as I said. It's not the end of this analogy, and it's not the end of the one that I want to bring to you this morning, because there's even a more radical, definite coming out and going in. Two sheepfolds that I want to talk to you now. One sheepfold is this life you live in, this world, this consciousness that you have, this person that you are. This is a sheepfold. This sheepfold is going to end, and you're going to have to leave this sheepfold because your life will end. Okay, you can't stay there forever. Now, one of two ways you're going to get out of this life, out of that sheepfold. You're going to be thrown over the fence, or you're going to go through the door, who is Jesus. And if you go through the door, who is Jesus, the second part of that analogy takes on an entirely different perspective. Because there is an eschatological sheepfold. There is a sheepfold at the end of time. There is a sheepfold that every single person on earth, whether they know it or not, or whether they admit it or not, desperately want to go to. And we have different names for it. We call it heaven. We call it the city of Zion. We call it the city of God, the new Jerusalem. We call it by many different names, but it is the sheepfold that we eventually desperately want to go to. So you remember that scene about what happens at the sheepfold of the Lord that we go into every single night, where the Lord stands at the gate and he counts his own and he ministers to them and heals them and he blocks the way to those who don't belong there? Scripture tells us that's what's going to happen, folks. That same analogy. The good shepherd stands at the door. You know, tradition says it's Peter. It is not. It is Jesus who is at the door of that sheepfold. And as each one of us in a single file line that stretches virtually into eternity, because it includes every single man or woman who has ever lived at any time in this world, we will be in that line and we will come towards inspection of that good shepherd. And that good shepherd will do three things. First of all, he will look deep into your eyes to see if you are one of his, to see if you are one of his sheep. And if you are sheep, if you are, he'll count you. Because he knows how many sheep he has down to the number. You remember when Jesus was on the side of the hillside there, the Olivet Discourse, and he says this gospel of the kingdom will be declared throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. That's when the last sheep's in the fold. That's when it's all going to happen. He knows every single one of his sheep, and so he counts them as they go in. He looks deep into their eyes, and he says, I know you, that you're one of my sheep. The second thing he does is he heals that sheep. Because you know something, some of us, when we get to that place, we're going to be pretty beat up because of the hard road that we've taken in this life, because of the suffering that sometimes Christians have to go through. We are going to be beat up. We are going to be hurt. We are going to be discouraged. We are going to have gone through all kinds of misery. And Jesus says, I'm going to heal you. I've got some oil here I'm going to anoint you with. Because you know something, when you go into this sheepfold, there's no sorrow in there. There's no pain in there. There's no crying. There's no weeping. There is nothing. You are going to be healed and cleaned and washed. And so therefore, when you go into this sheepfold, there's nothing there but paradise. But the third thing that he does is he blocks the way to those who are not his. Scripture says that Jesus knows his own, and that many will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, did I not do many things? I was a great sheep and I did all kinds of following. And Jesus will look at them and say, I did not know you. You're not one of my sheep. You didn't come out of the sheepfold through the door. You see, there's only one way out of this life, and that's through Jesus. And if you came through the door, you're mine. If you didn't come through it, then you were thrown over the walls, and therefore you're not mine. And it's hard, but Jesus says that you'll be thrown into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you tell me, I don't believe in hell, and I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to discuss that with you at all. All I'm going to tell you is that no one talked more about hell or someplace like hell than Jesus did. And regardless of what it looks like, he painted it as someplace you don't want to be. And someplace that is not the sheepfold that he wants you to go into. So my dear friend, there's only one way out of this life. There's only one way out of that sheepfold, and it's through Jesus. And there's only one way into the ultimate sheepfold that he wants us to be in, and that is through Jesus. He is the door out, and he is the door in. But he preeminently, singularly, exclusively is the door. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you now for the imagery that you put before us. It's impossible for me in human terms to put this as powerfully as I think it should be. Because, dear Lord, this is what life is about. This is the essence of all of your salvation, your redemption, redemptive plan. It is Jesus and Jesus alone who brings us out of the sheepfold of this world and our sinfulness, and he brings us into the garden, into relationship with you. And so, Lord, we give you the glory for that, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And we pray that all those within the sound of my voice who hear this message and have not accepted you as Savior, have not exited the door through you, that they will indeed do so, knowing that's the only way out and it's the only way in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.